Hey, well, good morning, everybody. It's 10:25, so I'd like to go ahead and get the Environmental Improvement, Transportation, and Public Outreach Committee started. So right now the date's Wednesday, April 28th, 2021, and it is 10:25, and we are having a virtual meeting today. The first item on the agenda is the roll call to determine the quorum. And so, Mario, would you please take roll, please?
Ms. Faustinos?
Present.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Ms. Novacell?
Here.
Ms. Williamson?
Good morning, here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you, Maria. We'll go over the ground rules for the meeting today. It is a virtual meeting. So I've got a few ground rules for the morning. First is to observe and participate in the meeting, please go to www.trpa.gov. Select April 28th, 2021, a governing board meeting on the calendar, and then follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. To participate in the committee meeting this morning with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is opened in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via the call-in number posted on the website, please note that this is a listen-in only option. So if you wish to address the committee, you will need to log in via the GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or phone. To my committee members, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function. If you are online or speak up, if you are calling in, please set the chat box to panelists and organizers. And then committee members, please only use the chat function to indicate a desire to speak, because this function may not be used to have sidebar conversations. And finally, everyone, please remember to mute your mics so we don't get any background noise. So thanks for indulging me on all those rules. And with that, the next item is the approval of the agenda. Julie, is there any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So with that, consider the agenda approved. And then that will take us on to our first discussion item, and that's discussion and possible recommendation on the 2020 Linking Tahoe Regional Transportation Plan, Sustainable Communities Strategy. This is found on page 1081 of the packet. There's a brief background as well as the executive summary in your packet. And with that, I will turn it over to Michelle for the presentation. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much. And hello, fellow, committee members. It's going to be a long day. Today, this morning, we are here seeking your recommendation to Governing Board on the final regional transportation plan. And since we were here last month, we've been to the Tahoe Transportation Commission and recently the Advisory Planning Commission earlier this morning. We were at RPIC. So the TTC provided a recommendation on the full plan along with RPIC and APC recommending the 2020 Regional Transportation Plan goals and policies proposed to be amended into the regional plan. I'm going to provide just a high level summary today as you have been with me through this journey. And then we'll be discussing the full plan at Governing Board later this afternoon. The plan brings an approach on what we need and what we're focused on and how we want to achieve it. The elements of the plan, building on projects like the trail connecting Incline Village to Sand Harbor, right? Hotspot recreation destinations are now accessible by bike along with bus transit. Projects include modernizing the system to keep it free, frequent, and even make it fun. really capitalizing on technology tied to travel options, whether it be when the next bus or shuttle will be arriving, or letting you know that the parking lot at your destination is full prior to your arrival, so you can consider leaving the car behind or visiting another destination. Corridors and communities is where land use and transportation come together for multimodal planning, and that's not just at a single problem spot, but along an entire corridor. This comprehensive planning helps to align our committees, this comprehensive planning helps to align our priorities. Existing projects like the SR 89 Corridor Management Plan, the Main Street Management Plan, and more recently the Resort Triangle Plan within the basin, that's the Corridor Plan for 28 and 89. These projects all benefit our residents and our visitors. The plan incorporates strategies to provide transportation options for all users, whether that's a local employee getting to work or a visitor coming from hours away. While the RTP spans 25 years, there are a lot of different projects included in the plan, all intended to improve mobility throughout the region and make it easier for everyone to get out of their cars, all the while preserving the environment. The ones shown on the right from the Bi-State Consultation, a group of local and state representatives you're very familiar with, from the public and private sectors as well, they've convened to discuss accelerating investments in transportation around the lake. These four projects shown on the right are some of those higher priority projects that will improve community connectivity, reduce car travel, and prioritize other modes like biking, walking, and transit. Priorities include general improvements to transit, right? Emphasizing the much needed recreation services, trail improvements, significant investment in infrastructure for bikes and peds, including bike paths connecting Truckee to Tahoe within the resort triangle, sidewalks along Pioneer Trail on the South Shore. And under technology, with $17 million of investment, includes system upgrades, an integrated regional parking system, traffic management, and transit signal priority investments that will prioritize and enhance the safety of transit, biking, and walking options. Lastly, operations and maintenance recognizes the significant need for maintaining the existing transportation network, including maintenance of local roads and bike paths, plowing bike paths in the winter, and maintaining new complete street infrastructure. Next slide. The plan is more contemporary and focused on implementation. The plan provides a regional approach to mobile source GHG reduction and incorporates new GHG goals of California and supports Nevada State Climate Strategy. Transportation is a part of the solution. The plan includes project priorities that have been identified by the Bi-State Collaboration that I just mentioned, as well as regional priorities. In response to committee, stakeholder, and public feedback over the past month, we've edited policies to incorporate collaboration with tribal partners, federal partners, and folded those into the document as well. We've clarified that the project list and plan content is not project approval for construction. However, incorporation in the plan is necessary for projects to receive state and federal funds. We've enhanced policies to include the importance of community context. That's in providing transportation improvements. And we've reinforced the importance in providing safe travel options. This plan leverages new technology and service models in providing transportation options, including travel apps and on-demand microtransit, lots of lessons learned with micro shuttles, and we're excited to see some pilot projects being rolled out this summer. Most familiar probably to everyone is the Mountaineer Squaw Valley service. The Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe Transit Service will also be rolling out a pilot this summer connecting Reno to Incline Village, and that'll be utilizing a reservation system, providing services every day of the week. The Regional Transportation Plan sets out to increase our private sector partnerships and the role they play, but this isn't just on the transit side. We are currently working with our South and North Shore Transportation Management Associations to work with employers, large and small, over the next year. The program Commute Tahoe will provide information and tools to our employers to educate them and their employees on travel options. The plan enhanced details on recreation travel and access to corridor planning. The plan includes new data sources to better understand behavior. This is built within our analysis and forecast for the plan. Parking management includes pricing, managing the existing use of the roadway more efficiently in reservation systems. Pricing strategies are being piloted right now at Tunnel Creek parking area along the East Shore. The Resort Triangle Transportation Plan is preparing for a parking pilot I just mentioned. And these projects better utilize existing parking focused on the town center. US 50 East is gearing up for corridor management plan that will certainly include parking management. But it's not just the big agencies. The Tahoe Backcountry Alliance is hopeful to pick up a pilot they previously started, and that's a smaller scale private service with vans connecting trailheads on the West Shore. This is to help that recreation crunch that we feel. There is broad agreement. New funding is needed for transportation, and through the coordination among the Bi-State Consultation, the Tahoe Transportation District, and local government, there's significant momentum toward realizing new funding options. The plan includes this as a starting point for the funding initiative underway that you have all helped shape. Moving forward will require continued collaboration with stakeholders, our partner agencies, and the public, those that call Tahoe home, and those that come to recreate here. Next slide. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Thank you, Michelle. I guess I deviate a little bit. I just in the chat, I did get a message from Belinda who lost audio. So I'm wondering if I'm hoping that Belinda gets it back soon and that it didn't affect other committee members as well. But I just wanted to relay that as well. My audio was fine, Michelle. So I don't see any committee members asking for questions or comments in the chat. So I'll just open it up to the committee if there's any questions for Michelle. Well, perhaps Michelle, it's you and I having the conversation. So thank you, Michelle. And I do, before I forget, I want to thank the entire team. And I know there's so many folks working on the RTP, and I'm not even going to bother listing because I'll forget somebody. But I know that there's been a high level of engagement between TRPA staff, TTD staff, and then, you know, more importantly, even the community stakeholders and local government. So really want to acknowledge that because it's that engagement that makes our plans better. I guess I will ask a question of you, Michelle, and that's, you know, in our comment letters that we received in advance of this meeting, there was a couple of comments regarding setting project priorities, that the RTP has a great list of projects that are needed, but there's not information regarding setting priorities in order to achieve goals. Wonder if you could touch on that real quick.
Sure. We actually have several call outs in there, and that is why I included it in my presentation. You guys are probably a little familiar with those, right? Working through the bi-state consultation and being our guides through the regional transportation plan development. So the plan does include those kind of highlighted projects. They're in the executive summary as well as, I think that's on about page 8 of the executive summary. You'll see those where we really call these out and how they are important, right, in reducing VMT and creating more options for travel. So I don't know if we've missed something in there, but, I think that it's important that we have to balance everything that we try to achieve. And we've said that a few times, right, all of the goals. There are goals about, you know, enhancing safety as well as, you know, maintaining the system. So while we do have a list, and that is it provided in the regional transportation plan, we do still have to balance all of the needs of the users and, you know, think about all of the goals that we have. But I would say that I think we have actually included a priority list.
Thank you, Michelle. I agree. I think there is that process baked in. I think I can understand why there is some questions about how that's going to move forward. I appreciate your answer. I think the other thing I would add, and we had the discussion in RPIC this morning, I know we're kind of breaking out sort of the VMT threshold from this RTP discussion this morning at the EIP committee. But, you know, our discussion was really on a robust adaptive management process regarding achieving or meeting the VMT threshold. And so my hope or vision is that process also informs setting priorities moving forward with the RTP. Because if we have an adaptive management process for VMT, identifying where we need to make improvements, or ideally that maybe we're already hitting the mark. But I think there should be a lot of information there and communication back and forth between that process and RTP implementation. So with that, I don't see, I guess I'll open it up to the committee one more time to see if there's any questions for Michelle. And I don't see or hear any. So with that, Catherine, how about public comment? Is there anybody queued up for public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes. Steve Teixeira, you're unmuted on my end. Go ahead.
Thank you, Catherine. Chair Lawrence and members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to comment. Additional perspectives building on the conversation you were just having. A couple of things about priorities and about Peter Kratz's comments earlier about what a heavy lift transportation projects are to implement. And I think that's one of the values, first of all, value of the regional transportation plan that's before you today is that it clearly shows that additional funding is needed. And the value of a regional funding source or sources is that the money would be more flexible. We know that a lot of the money that comes from the federal government, the state government, we appreciate those funds, but they all come with strings. And one of the challenges of implementing any transportation project is to try to cobble together the money that basically looking at all the strings. Sometimes a transportation project looks like a marionette, which has lots of strings or people are moving them around. And it's hard to build a project when you are trying to work through that kind of a challenge. So I'm hoping that we will, even though there's heavy lifting involved, that we won't shy away from going after a more flexible source or sources of funds that we can control at the local level that come with fewer strings. So I think that's one of the keys to moving this forward. I'll save some of my other comments for the governing board item on this, but appreciate this committee, Mr. Lawrence, your group here today, moving this forward to the governing board as we move on with our day today. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate your comments and certainly appreciate all of the work and dedication you've given to Tahoe and transportation. Catherine, is there additional public comment?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chair. Sophie Winslow, you're unmuted on my end.
Good morning. This is Sophie Winslow again with the California Attorney General's Office speaking at a staff level. We have provided detailed feedback to staff on the draft 2020 RTP SCS over the past several months, and we'll just share a few of our high-level comments today. As I noted earlier today, we continue to think the draft 2020 RTP SCS could target a higher level of per capita VMT reduction without changing expected investment, while also continuing to prioritize equitable transportation solutions that work for everyone in the basin. To this end, we continue to wish the RTP SCS and by extension the proposed per capita VMT thresholds were more ambitious. As noted in our October 2020 letter on the draft environmental analysis for the draft 2020 RTP SCS, we are skeptical that full implementation of the RTP SCS would lead to the level of VMT reduction claimed in that analysis. Our review of the available data indicates that full implementation of the RTP SCS is more likely to hold per capita VMT steady between now and 2045. As such, we expect that future RTP SCSs will need to scale up the level of ambition. As I also noted in my earlier comments today, we are concerned about the $1 billion funding gap for RTP implementation, which would, as we understand it, persist even if regional revenue is fully secured. Given the existence of this funding gap, it is imperative that every dollar invested in RTP implementation be directed towards projects that are expected to significantly reduce VMT or otherwise provide a significant return on investment. Strategic implementation of the RTP will be essential if TRPA is to achieve the proposed VMT thresholds. Notwithstanding these concerns, we are pleased that TRPA is holding itself to the high bar of full RTP SCS implementation and committing itself to develop a badly needed regional revenue source to fund transportation improvements. We again thank staff for its time throughout this process, and we look forward to continued engagement on this issue. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sophie, and I appreciate those comments from your office. And again, just like with Steve Teixeira, I appreciate the engagement on these really important issues facing Lake Tahoe. Catherine, any additional public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are no other hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Since there's no more public comments, I will ask to see if there's any comments or questions from the committee. And I don't see anybody in chat, so I'll open
Chair
it
Lawrence.
Up.
Chair Lawrence.
Yes, Sue.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I just want to thank Michelle and the staff for this update and all the information, because I think it is an aggressive timeline we've got going if we do have a lack of funding. And that's our bottom line here, is we have all these wonderful goals, but with the $1 billion shortage, it makes transportation very, very difficult. We are traditionally set on using commuter funds to try to deal with tourism of transportation, and it doesn't work. And we know it doesn't. So we need subsidies. We need the ability for our regional transportation system to work around the lake. That takes funding. And so that is our big lift. So I appreciate all that has been said here and all that's been written. I think it's a great plan. I'm really looking forward to talking about the implementation next. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Totally agree. Cindy, I see that you have a comment or a question.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Thanks to Michelle as well. I want to thank all the folks involved with this plan, especially as it relates to working with the local jurisdictions who are often tasked with the implementation, along with the Tahoe Transportation District, in tackling the hard problems of how you implement these with limited funding. And I really appreciate the Attorney General's recognition, as well as so many others, that we do need to figure out a regional revenue stream that can sustain and make these take these out of the pilot program stages to forms of transportation and transit that people can depend on and make decisions on, not to bring a vehicle to the basin. And that is so critical to all of us, that people need to be able to get all the way around the region in order to leave their vehicles home and not add to the challenges we face. So I really appreciate all the hard work, and especially your work with TTD and the local jurisdictions, to come up with a series of strategies and implementation plans that we can move forward with. Thanks.
Thank you, Cindy. I don't see any more committee members in the chat. So I guess I'll just open it up one last time to see if any committee members have any comments or questions. I don't see any at this point, so I will make a comment. From my perspective, and again, I want to appreciate everybody that worked on this. I think from where I sit, it's a very solid and ambitious plan. I think it really takes a look at the critical issues facing transportation in the basin, and how do we really make a difference and improve the system and improve the experience for both visitors but also residents as well. I think there are questions that have been raised. There is the funding gap, and we're going to have to figure that funding gap out. And I also think it's very realistic to say, if there is a funding gap, that we're going to have to work together and collaborate to make sure that we're getting priority projects done that make the biggest difference. So I think there's a lot of great work that went into this plan, but there's more work to be done. And so it's not one of those things that we pass this and then we step back. If this does move forward, and it is passed, then the real hard work begins. So with that, I guess we're looking for a motion to move this to the full board. So Mr. I will entertain. Yes,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is Cindy. I'd like to recommend approval of the 2020 Linking Tahoe Regional Transportation Plan Sustainable Community Strategy to the TRPA Governing Board.
Thank you, Cindy. Is there any comments or questions regarding the motion? Seeing none, let's, Mari, if you could do roll call, please.
Ms. Hill.
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos?
Yes.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Ms. Novosel?
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle, for the presentation, and thanks, everybody, for all of the work and attention this morning. This brings us now to agenda item number 3, which is state and federal transportation legislative updates and possible direction to staff. Information's on page 1117 of the packet. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Julie. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee and the public. I'm Julie Reagan, and I am Chief of External Affairs and Deputy Director here at TRPA. We have a presentation to give you to update you on state and federal legislative and administration initiatives. We could easily spend a couple hours digging through this, but in the interest of time and in service to transportation, we will turbocharge through this since there is yet another committee meeting to happen before the full convening of the governing board. So, Mr. Chair, with your okay, we'll dive into this and we'll try to keep this as brief and high level as we can. All right, so if we go to the next slide. Thank you. Nick Haven and I will tag team through this along with you, Mr. Chair, and I will kick off by looking at the state of California and some initiatives that are underway there that we wanted to bring to the attention of the committee. Some of you who have been on this board or in Tahoe for many years will remember back in 2008, we actually had a California legislative committee that formed for the protection and oversight of Lake Tahoe, akin to the Nevada Legislative Oversight Committee for TRPA that's been in existence for many decades. And that committee did not get funded and did not have any hearings or field trips, sadly. And we've lamented the loss of that committee. So in recent years, we've had some momentum to begin what we're calling the Tahoe Caucus. And the California Tahoe Alliance, which is a coalition of the California side of the EIP partnership, local governments, utility districts, nonprofits, TRPA's advisory to that, along with the California Tahoe Conservancy, we've been working very hard to form this caucus. So we have interest from our delegation, Senator Dolly, Assemblywoman Dolly, and Assemblyman Bigelow, in addition to other new senators. Our friend, former Secretary John Laird, is now a senator in the California legislature from Santa Cruz. He has expressed interest in participating in this caucus, as are many other members that are from the Bay Area and others. And the goal is to create new champions and supporters for the lake. It is still in formation and under development, but we'll keep you apprised as it comes forward. We wanted to let you know we're working hard on this to grow the influence of Tahoe in the California legislature. And there are a few other transportation particular items of note that Nick is going to cover.
Thanks, Julie. Hi, everyone. Nick Haven with the transportation team. Just want to tick through some California and Nevada legislative and programmatic activities that are going on, just so you're aware that what we're tracking as TRPA and what we're involved in. And so the state has recently released onto this climate action plan for transportation infrastructure. So California has basically released a draft proposal how it will look to begin to administer a lot of the funding that the state has to adapt to climate change. And so while it's not really changing a lot of the transportation programs in the state per se, it's just being a little more targeted on how those programs can help with climate adaptation. And it is in draft form. It's going to be finalized by July, and we've been providing input with CalSTA all the way along. And we'll continue to do that, and we'll continue to provide you updates on that. It links very well with a lot of the initiatives and work coming forward out of TRPA. The state of California is also looking to reboot their road user charge pilot, which is essentially looking at alternatives to the state gas tax. As you know, California invests in more electric vehicles and has committed to a serious ramp up in electrification. That obviously impacts one of the primary revenue streams for transportation in gas tax. And so what that does is really look at how do you charge or collect revenue on a per mile basis or a fixed basis for folks registering cars in the state. And you'll hear me talk about an initiative in Nevada that is also looking to replacements to the gas tax. So both states, you know, everyone's kind of looking ahead and figuring out ways to be more sustainable in their funding for state priorities. So the Transportation California proposal, so this is a budget proposal that is looking at the balance or budget in California. There was a significant budget surplus that was recently identified, and I think everyone's kind of looking to that. But there is a concerted effort across the state of California, coordinated through Transportation California and also CalCOG, a regional agency, basically trying to create a stimulus package of state funds. So to complement a lot of the federal stimulus packages that I'll talk about in a little bit, and complement those with state funds. It's a pretty significant package, and we're tracking this to see how transportation in Tahoe can benefit. And so with that, we'll click over to Nevada, and I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to your chair, Mr. Lawrence, who's been already in this Nevada legislative session extremely busy. And so, Jim, if you wouldn't mind running us through, can you go back a slide, please, Tracy, running us through some recent legislative activities in Nevada.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that, and I appreciate you putting my cheat sheet back up on the screen. Thank you, Tracy. Yeah, and you know, happy to do that. I guess I'll start, Julie, with the Tahoe California caucus. I think that's terrific news, and if we can get something built in California, I think that would be wonderful. And I'm mentioning that because that's a precursor to our legislation that I'll go over. On Nevada, we do have the interim committee for oversight of TRPA and the Marlette Lake water system, and over the years, we've been able to use that committee to really educate folks on Tahoe issues and end up with champions. And that's really the first two pieces of legislation here, SCR 8 and SJR 12. These are two resolutions that are sponsored by the Lake Tahoe Oversight Committee. They voted on that last interim. They're carrying these two pieces of legislation. Assemblywoman Sarah Peters is taking the lead. The first one, SCR 8 on this list, is really Lake Tahoe transportation priorities. I think many of you are aware of this resolution. It is really building off of all of the collaborative work that's been going on regarding transportation. And our Nevada legislature is very interested in that work. They're very interested in the challenges we're facing at Tahoe. And this resolution requests that by the first meeting of the next interim committee, which would probably be in the fall, that we, as a basin stakeholders through the bi-state process, come back with transportation priorities, but more important, based on our previous discussions, some funding recommendations in order to really talk about that issue in front of the Nevada legislature. The next resolution is similar, it's transportation related, it's SJR 12. It's more near and dear to Nevada because it is having to do with the SR 28 corridor management plan. And it is a high priority for Nevada. And we all know that it's a very challenging situation, particularly in the summer months, and I know for our state park personnel. And so what this resolution does is it expresses legislative support that this East Shore Trail is a high priority project for Nevada, and recognizing that much of the project is on federal land, expresses support for federal funding for that project. It's not transportation related, but I'll add this too, because it is the EIP committee. We also have SCR9, which basically recognizes the importance of science and decision-making in the Tahoe Basin, and is really getting our Nevada research institutions to work across silos. And so that for them to work through the Tahoe Science Advisory Council, but in that collaboration, identify joint funding requests and joint projects, again, to kind of break down the silos. And then lastly, that's not on this list, is EIP funding. The governor's recommended budget is $12 million in EIP bonds for Nevada projects over the next biennium. It's had preliminary hearings, and hopefully, ideally, it will be in the budget closing at the end of May. All of the resolutions have been heard. Two of them, SCR8 and SJR12, have already passed out of the first house and are over to the second house. And then I guess I should touch on, you have it on the list, NDOT Sustainable Transportation Funding. Nick, I might have to rely on you a little bit. My recollection, and no problem if you correct me if I'm wrong, is that this was born out of, actually it was Senate Concurrent Resolution 3 from the last legislative session, which really set forth a working group over the last 2 years to come up with alternative funding solutions to the gas tax. And that's what I know about the NDOT Sustainable Transportation Funding. So Nick, you can fill in the gaps.
Yeah, no, that was great. Appreciate it. Thank you for that rundown. So we've been working pretty closely with NDOT. They just kicked off this, what they're calling a sustainable funding project as well. But like California, it's really focused on that gas tax replacement and satisfying state needs, right? And so they've made it clear that they'll also be working closely with us. They're aware of our initiative as well. And just making sure that we're not tripping over each other and can coordinate and take opportunities that may present themselves. So that's great. Thank you for that. And now we'll go ahead and click over to the next slide and get into some of the federal level. And I'll let Julie kick this one off with some updates on our meetings with our delegation.
Great. Thank you, Nick. Again, Julie Reagan, Deputy Director at TRPA. And before Nick walks you through some of the specific policy initiatives, I just wanted to share with the committee that this year we did virtual Washington, D.C. fly-ins. We generally are back in the nation's capital with the Tahoe Partnership. TRPA is very pleased to participate with representatives that go back to the capital every year to advocate for Tahoe for the EIP. And we were able to transition into virtual meetings, and we had several members themselves, with staff, with the entire delegation, plus other members of that complement our work with our local delegation. We call them the Friends of Tahoe, folks like Congressman John Garamendi, who's a longtime champion for Tahoe, and others in the House of Representatives. But we were able to have meetings fully with our full two-member House delegation, all four senators, and then additional members from Nevada, such as Congresswoman Dina Titus, who serves on a key transportation and infrastructure committee representing Nevada. So we had a series of very productive meetings. We felt very confident that our delegation is queued up about Tahoe's needs as stimulus and infrastructure discussions are underway. But we felt also, we felt a lot of support from our delegation. On the California side, of course, we have a new United States Senator, Senator Padilla. And fortunately, several of his staffers are folks that we've worked with in other capacities when they served in Senator Feinstein's office and Senator Harris's office. So we had a series of very productive meetings. We wanted to share that with you to let you know we are leaving no stone unturned. And then Nick will walk you through a couple of these really specific transportation opportunities that we are bird dogging as well.
Thanks, Julie. Yeah, I'll move through these pretty quick, and we can always bring these back at the committee's request and just provide you updates, as a lot of these things are either in motion or will be coming to you in other ways. And so you've heard a lot about COVID-19 related stimulus funding. There's been a couple different bills that have passed, and I just want to connect that to Tahoe. First one was the CARES Act back in March of 2020. That one really, we benefited greatly from transit money. There was a one-time allocation to Tahoe that went directly to the transit operators, so TTD and TART, for basically trying to cover some of the losses related to COVID, whether it was employees or others. And one benefit that we've seen from the funding already is being able to maintain free fares for both of those systems. So that was a very important opportunity for us. The next one was the American Rescue Plan. So this is the more recent bill in 2021. And this didn't have any additional transit funding for Tahoe, but it did have additional what we call roads or trails money, so non-transit money. And this is money that has pretty short fuse. And so, you know, we're working with our partnership, as always, to look at projects that these funds can go toward. And, you know, that clicks me over then to, you know, how does TRPA as the MPO work with our federal funds? You're probably wondering, why is TRPA Regional Grant Program under the federal? This is how we administer as the MPO. We're responsible for allocating federal formula funds. So remember, we've talked about formula funds versus those competitive funds. So TRPA is responsible for convening the partnership to allocate transportation funding that comes from the federal government. And that is a tune of about $5 million a year. And we do that every 2 years. And so that there is a program of projects that we can move forward. And that is done through basically a criteria-based application process. And so we talked a lot earlier about the adaptive management process. And so that has a couple components, as you pointed out, Mr. Chair. There's the inclusion of projects into the RTP, and then there is actually the selection of projects for funding and delivery. And so this is really aimed at that second part. And this committee will be integrally involved in that regional grant program. We're going to be rolling out the next round or next cycle this summer. And so we anticipate bringing back to this committee that framework, so the committee's familiar with it and you have input on that process and criteria. So next, we click over to those competitive grants. Recently, we saw the administration change. Go back one slide. The administration changed one of the largest infrastructure competitive programs. It was formerly called BUILD. It is now called RAISE, and there's a couple adjustments to that. And it's a $1 billion program nationally, so pretty significant. And one of the larger changes that may benefit Tahoe is that there's a 50-50 split between rural and urban. The former program in BUILD was way higher focused on urban areas. And so that's something we've been dealing with for a while in competitive programs. Next slide. And so more recently, you've heard about the American Jobs Plan, which is that $2 billion Biden infrastructure plan that was put forward. And that is a pretty broad-based plan. It has, you know, water, infrastructure, telecommunications, broadband, but there's $161 billion in there for transportation. And so this plan has a long way to go in terms of how it actually begins to get authorized. And that brings me to the next one, which is the reauthorization of the transportation bill. So this is the multi-year authorizing legislation for all of the transportation programs that we deal with. That is under development right now. This Congress is picking up from last Congress, H.R. 2, that was put forth in a bipartisan way. And so two of our kind of primary things that we're watching out for are protecting the Tahoe language, and that is basically the language that was inserted in previous transportation bills that elevated our population numbers to recognize visitation to public lands. That was significant in increasing that formula funding that we get. The next is we're working through AMPO, a National MPO Association, to help increase that direct sub-allocation, so funding coming from the federal government, instead of going through the states to the regions, it would go more direct to the regions that have regional transportation plans and investment plans. And so that's quick update. And again, we'll be coming back with you for more. And so next, you can switch slides. We're going to close it with Julie talking about the Travel Act, which is an exciting draft legislation from Senator Cortez Masto's office. So Julie, go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Nick. Again, Julie Reagan. And I just wanted to emphasize actually some of the comments that we've heard from members of the public and the board, you know, that all of these initiatives are highly collaborative. And we are just really pleased that we have the kind of teamwork, you know, we call ourselves Team Tahoe in the basin to advocate for these programs. But like one of our commenters, Steve Shishera, mentioned, a lot of the federal funds do get siloed. And so this is a new federal opportunity that our folks in Senator Catherine Cortez Masto's office from Nevada have asked for your consideration to endorse, because for the first time, we are looking for federal transportation policy to actually recognize this recreation based travel that tourism economies depend on. And this would actually change the way formula programs work to allow more funding to come to tourist destinations that rely on transportation infrastructure for the business of tourism and the quality of life for residents that live in tourist-based economies. So there are some key new programs that would open up new funding opportunities and truly recognize that transportation isn't just about big city urban commutes or freight. We have so many other needs, particularly in the West, for tourist-based transportation investment. So it's an exciting opportunity. The Tahoe Transportation District has supported this, in addition to many other partners in Nevada. The Lake Tahoe South Shore Chamber has come out in support of this. The bill should be introduced tomorrow, and we are just very grateful because Senator Cortez Masto's office actually included CTD and TRPA in early discussions to craft this bill to make sure that our challenges would be addressed in the final policy language. So we're very grateful for their engagement on Tahoe issues. Certainly Las Vegas was a great concern to the state of Nevada in this bill, but there was great consideration for Tahoe put into this. And I just wanted to open up to you, Mr. Chair, a discussion of giving direction to staff to basically, we'll work with our executive director, Joanne Marchetta, to fashion a letter of support once this gets, endorsed by the committee. And I recognize you haven't, vetted this bill extensively. So there has not been enough time for that. These things tend to move really quickly. But if you direct staff, we will do that vetting and we will make sure that it's vetted with the full members of our delegation on the California side as well. We're not anticipating any objection from members of our delegation. And the Senator's office has been also very busy trying to garner bipartisan support for this bill. So with that, our conclusion is imminent here of the many moving parts of transportation funding. And truly, it's a big lift. What you've heard is correct. This is going to take the commitment of our whole community, not only on the federal and state side, but on the local regional revenue pieces as well. And the fun is underway. We just wanted to let you know some of the highlights of the things that we're working on. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Julie. And thank you, Nick. I think we have a couple of things going on here. One is we have sort of the overall general update regarding state and federal funding opportunities or legislation. And then specifically, Julie, I'm hearing you're asking for direction for staff to work on any vetting issues, but also work on possibly a support letter for the Travel Act. And I know that Sue has a comment. I will, before I turn it over to Sue for her comments, I do want to echo what you said, Julie. I think, working with Senator Catherine Cortez Masto and her staff, I think they have a true level of engagement and appreciation for the transportation and sustainable recreation and just overall the environmental challenges we have in the basin. And I think we're fortunate to have that support and attention. So that's my comment with that. Sue, I see that you do have a comment. So yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jay. I just wanted to say how excited I am to hear about the Travel Act. And specifically when I was reading over the proposed act, the part about reserving not less than 10% of the amounts for specifically for multi-state corridor organizations to promote regional cooperation and planning of projects and activities. And that's exactly what we've all been talking about all morning here. And, you know, the idea of getting funding directed at our tourism activities and recreational opportunities, I think this is exactly where we need to go next. And I'm very excited, and I hope we can get a support letter out. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Any other, I don't see anything in the chat, but I'll just open it up to the committee members if there's any questions or comments on the presentation or on the Travel Act.
I was about ready to type, Jim. I would agree with Sue and with Julie. I think, you know, if we really, we should send a support letter for this legislation. I mean, this is exactly our issue, is that the formulaic process that Nick has to battle with to try to deal with our funding as an MPO doesn't address the recreational travel impacts that really are outside of our jurisdiction. And we either capture it by working with other MPOs that the traffic is being generated by, or we take the focus that the Senator Masto is. I mean, that's what we need. And we should be supportive. And I would hope that we could be use the iconic Lake Tahoe to help push legislation like that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Yes. And thank you, Bill, for your comment. And is there another committee member that has a question?
Oh, I don't have a question. This is Alexis Hill. I just would be happy to propose the motion.
Well, I thank you, Alexis. And I think I will take you up on that shortly. I do want to, if there's no more committee questions or comments, I do want to make sure that the public has a chance to weigh in. So I don't see any more comments or questions. So with that, we'll go to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar, and TRPA staff will unmute you. And with that, Catherine, do we have any public comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll give members of the public just a few more seconds. There's sometimes an audio delay. The hand-raising button is on the left-hand side of your control panel if you would like to address the committee. Mr. Chair, we have no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. With that, I'll close public comment and then open it back up to the committee and for questions, comments, or if we're ready for Alexis's motion. Don't see any more comments or questions. So, Alexis, if you'd like to make that motion, that'd be wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we direct staff to endorse the Travel Act upon the bill's introduction in the U.S. Senate. And thank you so much to the staff on their work on these efforts, and to our Senator Catherine Cortez Masto for her work in the Lake Tahoe Basin.
Great. Thank you, Alexis. Any questions or comments on the motion? I don't see any. So, Mario, would you please do a roll call vote?
Ms. Hill.
Yes.
Ms. Faustinos.
Yes.
Ms. Williamson.
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson.
Yes.
Ms. Novosel.
Yes.
Mr. Yates.
Yes.
Mr. Lawrence.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, that motion passes.
Great. Thank you, Maria. And thank you, Julie and Nick, for the presentation. Great information. Before we move on, I want to throw out there, you know, I really want to be able to use this committee to really help out the efforts with getting funding and with any legislation that we need, whether federal or state. So I really appreciate the federal and state updates. And as we work together, please let us know how this committee can help and what we can do, because as we've talked about all morning, a lot of it has to get done with funding. So
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you all.
Thank you, Julie. With that, let's go on to the next agenda item, which is number 4, and that's committee member comments. So any member of the committee want to make a comment?
Jim, just to follow up on what you said, any idea of what our schedule's like as we proceed with our effort to get the focus on the regional funding needs of our RTP?
Well, that's a great question, Bill, and I might have to kick it over to Nick or Julie. I know that I've been having some conversations about getting the steering committee for the bi-state back together in a short time frame as a check-in. I do know that the TTIC and TTD board has been doing some work, as well as this committee. But I'll turn it over to Nick for more specifics.
Yeah, no, thanks for the question. There is a lot of work going on right now, and we are going to come back to this committee next month and have some working items. Just so everyone is aware, there is an RFP on the street for some consultant services in support of the Regional Revenue Initiative, and so we're looking to get that engaged in parallel with all of the work that's going on. So I just want to assure you that we're not sitting static right now. There's actually a lot of work through the TTIC right now. And we will be bringing forward some active topics for you next month.
Thanks, Nick. That answer your question, Bill?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much, Jim.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a busy summer. So any other comments or questions from the committee? I don't see any, so we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is public interest comments. This is the final item of this morning's meeting. And if any member of the public wishes to address the committee with public interest comments, please go to the GoToWebinar and unmute yourself, or staff will unmute you, and please raise your hand, and then you'll be unmuted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, I'll just give members of the public another minute to find the hand raise button if they would like to make a comment. And we have no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Jim, you're on mute.
You're muted.
Muted. Thank you. I appreciate that. So we'll close the public interest comments and move on to the next item, which is adjournment. Before we get to that item, though, Julie, do you know what time Operations Committee is going to meet?
It is any time. It was after 11. And in terms of the next steps, perhaps Chris Kyler is on the line.
I don't know if Shelley's available. Does she want to give a short break before we start?
I am, Chris. We'll meet, in the interest of moving things along, we'll meet at 11:25.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Shelley. Sounds like operations will meet at 11:25. And with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor? Aye.
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 All right. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, Chris, are we ready?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call this meeting of the TRPA Operations and Governments Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, April 28th, 2021, and it is 11:25 in the morning. We're having a virtual meeting again today. First up on the agenda is the roll call to determine a quorum. And, Mari, I understand that Bud will not be joining us today.
Ms. Aldean.
Here.
Mr. Beyer. Mrs. Sagaski. Mrs. Sagaski. Ms. Gustafson?
This is Mark Malushin, Deputy Secretary of State for Elections. I'm here in her stead. Secretary Sagaski is on. I'm going to work with her to make sure that she's up and running, though.
Thank you. Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Hicks? And Ms. Hill?
Here.
Okay, Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Okay, Maria, thank you. All right. Let's review quickly the virtual meeting rules of the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, please go to www.trpa.gov. Select April 28, 2021 Governing Board meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. In order to participate in the Operations and Governments Committee meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the Operations and Governance Committee. If you have contacted the TRPA for a reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dialogue, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are going, or if you are using the GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is open in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via the call-in number posted on our website, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the Operations and Governance Committee, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial your unique PIN number. All right, to ops members, again, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function if you are online, or speak up if you are calling in. Please set your please set your chat box now to message panelists and organizers to ensure that I see your message. Committee members may only use the chat function to indicate their desire to speak. This function must not be used for sidebar conversations. And finally, everyone, please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Chris, any changes?
No recommended changes, but we are running a little bit late. If you wanted to, you could probably punt numbers 6 and 8 to next month.
I'm sorry, Chris, you're breaking up a little bit. Could you repeat that?
No recommended changes to the agenda, but we are running late. If you'd like, we could defer items 6 and 8 to next month. Item 6 was already deferred from last month.
Sure, that's fine. And that... Item 8 has to do with the informational briefing on the TRPA building repairs and remodel, correct?
That's correct.
Yes? Okay. Yes. Thank you. All right. Without one change, we'll move the approval of the agenda as amended. Next item on the agenda is item number 2, and that's a recommendation to approve the March financials. The information is found on page 45 of your packet following the minutes. And we neglected to...
Yes.
Okay. All right, Chris?
For the record, Chris Tyler, Finance Director for the agency. Planning fees remain strong. We're doing very well, about 56% ahead of last year's year-to-date and ahead of the last 3 years' average. We are getting good revenues in on planning.
it's reflected in the planning volume. The planning department will talk more about that in a minute. We are continuing to get money.
Chris, I'm having a real hard time understanding you. Am I the only one having difficulty?
No.
We all are.
Chris, your mic is very fuzzy.
Yeah, we can't hear him either.
Got your headset handy?
I think he's given up and gone to lunch.
Is this any better?
Yes, it's much better, Chris. Thank you.
Okay, it's a very sophisticated process where you unplug and replug. So restarting.
We lost your video, though, Chris.
What?
We lost your video. We can hear you, but we can't see you.
There we go. All right.
Perfect.
All right, starting over again. Chris Fowler, Finance Director for the agency. Financially, planning fees remain strong. We continue a high volume of activity in that area. We're basically 56% ahead of the last 3 years' average. We are continuing to receive money for mooring applications and the mooring permit money in. AIS inspection fees are good and reaching budget. So on that side, we're okay. Grant billings, if you look at the financial statements, are lagging. That's normal. We bill most of those in arrears, so we are just now billing the third quarter of the fiscal year. So it looks like the grant programs are negative cash flow, but they really just haven't billed them yet. All of our expenses are on track and are on budget. Labor is right where we expect it to be. Contracts always lags a bit, and that's normal. March was a normal month for expenditures, slightly higher than prior years, but nothing to talk about. On the operational side, we are gearing up for summer operations. The AIS inspection station personnel were trained yesterday and the day before. The boat crew recruiting is coming on, it's underway at this point too. And in order to help current planning department with the extreme volume in applications, we're going to be hiring a temp planner to help out with them. Just a couple of other notes on budget. The California, we're waiting for the MIA revise for the governor's budget. On the Nevada side, the Joint Senate Assembly Committee closed our budget out a week ago last Monday with no changes from the recommended governor's budget. With that, I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Chris. Any member of the committee have any questions for Chris? All right, hearing none. Chris, I'm assuming, you know, every day I hear from employers who are struggling to find people for openings that they might have. I'm assuming we haven't had a similar issue in recruiting people for inspection stations this year?
Not so far. The temporary planning position, we've got a lot of applications for, actually. The boat crew, we have lost two members from last year, but we're optimistic and be able to fill those positions. I don't know where TRCD is on hiring inspection station crew, but mm-hmm. I do know the class they've been holding the last 2 days was full. So I think we're doing okay.
Okay, well, that's good news. Thank you. Okay. Hearing no members of the committee wishing to ask questions or comment, we'll go ahead and move on to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll go ahead and close public comment. Any further comments from members of the committee? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion. To recommend the governing board to accept the March 2021 financial statements.
So this is Barbara Sagaski from Nevada. I move for approval.
Thank you, Barbara. Any discussion from members of the committee? Seeing none, Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Mr. Beyer? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you. All right, so we'll move on to agenda item number three, which is a recommendation to approve adjustments to the fiscal year 2021 budget. That information can be found on page 21 of your packet. Chris?
Thank you. This is largely administrative. We've had a number of changes during the course of the year that we wanted to recognize and wrap into the budget. In particular, we've had a number of new grants in the AIS area on a variety of areas. We also have a revision to the transportation OWP, which is really just reflecting final actuals versus an estimate that went into the original budget. And then finally, when we prepared our budget for the year, we were anticipating getting a 5% cut from our California allocation to the general fund. That cut did not materialize, so we'll put that money back into the budget. With that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Okay, Chris, thank you. Any questions for Chris on this item? All right, hearing none, we'll move to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to address the Ops Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to make a public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. One last opportunity for members of the committee to comment on this item. No one wishes to comment. I'll entertain a motion to recommend to the governing board to approve changes to the TRPA fiscal year 2021 budget.
So moved. This is Barbara Sagaski.
Thank you, Barbara. All those, let's go ahead and take a roll call. Maria?
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Beyer? Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you. All right, moving on to agenda item number four, which is a recommendation to approve amendment number one to FY 2021 Federal Transportation Improvement Program. The information on this item can be found on page 227 of your packet, and Michelle will be presenting this item. Good morning again, Michelle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everyone. As the Tahoe region's federally recognized Metropolitan Planning Organization, also known as the TMPO, TRPA plays a leading role in identifying and planning solutions for its transportation challenges. TRPA, in its role as the TMPO, helps prepare and adopt a transportation improvement program at least every 2 years, and you're required to also maintain the program of projects, which includes processing amendments. Amendments are triggered when major changes to projects occur, like the ones before you today. The first, at the request of the Tahoe Transportation District, includes an update on a project title and description to reflect additional project activities and includes the additional grant funding awarded by NDOT and matching funds from TDA and identified local funds from Washoe County. These funds are in addition to the planning funding already approved by TRPA for outreach and site selection process. The project was formerly called Multi-Use Center, now proposed Tahoe Mobility Hub, Washoe County, and those details, the specific details of this are on 238 of your packet. The description was updated to reflect those additional funding here shown, and over the past few months, Washoe County and TDD have committed to a broad community planning and site selection process. Last month, TDD board took action authorizing the protective acquisition and program funding from these sources shown here. Next slide. The second project being modified in this amendment is SR-28 Central Corridor, Sand Harbor to Spooner. That's parking and safety improvements. The amendment here reflects additional funds awarded by NDOT through their Transportation Alternatives Program and adjustments to associated matching funds. The amendment was posted online and printed on request On April 10th, we held a public hearing at the Tahoe Transportation Commission, and we received public comments along with recommendation of approval at the commission. And with that, next slide, the final FTIP amendment, we are seeking your approval to the TMPO Governing Board today.
Thank you, Michelle. I'd like to call on Alexis Hill to update us on recent action taken by the Washoe County Commission in connection with their funding commitment. Alexis?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I appreciate the opportunity to address the committee on this. The Washoe County Commission met yesterday to review our matching bonds for both of these projects. Because of the wording of the agenda item and some confusion about the funding, which was coming from WC1 funds, and also a clarification that although the monies are going towards the purchase of the Southwood Old Elementary School site, that the commission wants to see that TTD seeks out other alternatives. The agenda item will be updated and will be put back on a future agenda item in May. So yesterday the item did not pass, but the board is committed to finding a way to make this move forward. And so we look forward to bringing that back in May. And I just wanted to make sure if there was any questions by this committee, I could address them on yesterday's board meeting.
Alexis, so the commission's desire that we remove any reference to the Washoe County's contribution?
No. I just wanted to make sure that our committee understood that although this did not pass at yesterday's meeting, it's going to be brought back in May, and so the commitment is still there. It's just I wanted to make sure everyone knew that it's a bit delayed.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification. All right. Any comments or questions by members of the committee on this item? All right. Hearing none, we'll move to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine, any comments or questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have one hand raised at this time. Steve Teixeira, you are unmuted on my end. Go ahead and address the committee.
Thank you, Catherine. Chair Aldean, members of the committee, Steve Teixeira, transportation activist. I am familiar with this document and urge this committee to move it forward to the TMPO consent calendar. I know that it's a very busy day for you still. You still have the full governing board meeting to go to, so I will also offer my comments in support of the amendments that are next on your agenda for the FY 2021 Transportation Overall Work Program. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Catherine, any other public comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no other hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, then we'll go ahead and close public comment. If there are no further comments or questions from the committee, I'll entertain a motion to recommend that the Governing Board adopt the attached resolution as contained in Attachment A, Amendment Number 1 to the 2021 FTIP.
Madam Chairwoman, this is Alexis Hill. I'm happy to make the motion. I move to...
Thank you, Alexis. Thank you. Discussion on the motion? All right. Maria, could you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Mr. Beyer? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Aldean?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you. Right, so we'll now move on to the next item, which is agenda number 5. It's a recommendation to approve amendment number 2 to the FY 2021 Transportation Overall Work Program. The information on this item can be found on page 251 of your packet. Michelle?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Michelle Glickert, TRPA. Today I'm seeking recommendation of approval of another amendment, this one also in your role as the federally recognized TMPO. Next slide. This amendment is addressing a recent notification from Caltrans that the federal planning funds actually received by the state were less than the estimate provided for the development of our overall work program. This is a rare situation and requires us to adjust our budget accordingly. This includes a small reduction in our overall budget by about $37,000, which is just 2% of our total budget. This slide summarizes the direct costs we reduced by work element, allowing us to still maintain our staff budget and all of those committed tasks in the overall work program. We're taking this experience into the development of next year's overall work program that will be coming next month before you. This will result in using a more conservative estimate for FHWA planning funds through Caltrans. And with that, I can answer any questions you might have.
Michelle, in our packet, you staff indicated that the reduction will not have a significant impact on deliverables. In view of the fact that we are realizing some savings from COVID, ironically, reduced the number of in-person meetings and had other related cost savings. Is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Madam Chair. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any members of the committee have any questions or comments regarding this item? Hearing none, move to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine, any comments or questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have no hands raised to make public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead then and close public comment. Any comments? One last chance for committee members to make a comment or ask a question. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to recommend to the Governing Board adoption of the attached resolution approving Amendment Number 2 of the 2021 TMPO Overall Work Program as contained in Attachment A. Don't be shy.
Madam Chair, this is Cindy. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Cindy. All right, we have a motion. Maria, please call the roll.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Mr. Beyer? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Okay, thanks so much. Next item is item number 6, which is a report to the committee on audit recommendations. This is an informational item only. Chris?
Actually, let me have Kathy start this one.
Okay. Good morning, Kathy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, this is Kathy Salisbury. I'm TRPA controller, and I wanted to start off by talking about one of the audit findings that came from the fiscal year 20 audit. The Science Council's audit discovered a deficiency for accruing AP invoices. This problem was highlighted in fiscal year 20 because we received a higher volume of AP invoices being submitted for payment after the deadline for audit preparation. To respond to this finding, we will put more effort into directly requesting vendor invoices, increasing our upfront communication with vendors to ensure the invoicing requirements are understood, and track all invoices that are turned in late so we can report that to the auditors and make adjustments if necessary.
On the second item, on the forfeiture.
Kathy?
Yeah,
I have one quick question for you. The agreements that we have with these contractors, what is the language? I mean, is it requested that they turn in these invoices in a timely manner, or can it be required?
Yes, it is requested that they turn in invoices, monthly invoices, And what we saw happening is we would be issuing work orders, which go over several different months, like maybe even a full year. And the contractors would wait to invoice until the very end of the work order, when we really need to see those invoices monthly. So part of it is just communicating to the vendors what's expected. It is in the contract language, but it would be more of a verbal communication that I'm speaking of.
So you're not suggesting that we amend the language in the written contract to require this, and not merely have it be a request?
I believe the language in the contract is sufficiently worded. It's just whether the contractors read that carefully. And a lot of times the program people will read it, but the back office people don't read it, or it's just a communication issue. So I think the language in the contracting agreement is adequate.
If I can just comment on that,
okay,
as well.
So you're going to be communicating verbally with our contractors, or are you going to be sending out some sort of clarifying memo?
I'd say both. It would be more like a kickoff meeting, saying this is the project, and normally we do that with what the scope of work is anyway. So we would just be adding on, by the way, these are the invoicing requirements. And then at the year end, one of our proposals is to also send a letter out to the vendors saying we need these invoices for work done through June 30th to be submitted within 30 days.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Kathy, why don't we move on to the next audit finding and staff's response, and then we can open up to questions by members of the committee.
Okay, let me also just comment on Kathy's piece that a lot of the contracts we're discussing here are with the universities, and it's very difficult to work with them on language, contract language. The second finding was on the forfeited securities, where the governing board had approved using those forfeited securities to cover the cost of researching old securities. The board approved the action, but we never made the accounting entry. So what we're going to do is we're going to make the accounting entry to move those into the general fund and handle it that way. We'll do that in conjunction with the budget, I think. But I'll be happy to take any questions.
So, Chris, going forward, when we recognize revenue from abandoned securities, that will be done immediately following a board action?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you for that clarification. Any members of the committee have any questions regarding these two audit findings and staff's proposed response? All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and move to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. If there are no further comments or questions by the committee, we will move on to the next item, since the previous item was informational only. Next item, quarterly treasurer's report. This is agenda item number 7. Chris?
Thank you. This is information as well, just to give you an overall status. We have the first chart first, please. On a cash flow basis, we did have delays at the beginning of the year with all the state budget issues, but you can see we are now back basically tracking the prior couple of years in terms of cash flow. So there's no real issues there. Can we take the next chart, please? Here's kind of a breakout of the investment pools. I do want to remind everybody that the bulk of the monies that we are investing here are monies that we hold in trust. They are mitigation funds and project securities that we cannot spend on our own. They're being held to either return to the project applicant or to be distributed on to the various basin entities to pay for projects. That accounts for about $18.5 million of this total. Overall, we're doing good. If I could have the next chart, please. This is kind of a listing of various rates to benchmark against. The Wells Fargo pool, as Bruce mentioned to you last month, was at various times in the year, he was either a hero or a goat. Right now, it's looking pretty good. We do have one issue coming up for an investment decision, and that is when we did the bond financing, we deposited a $2 million in Heritage Bank to buy a CD. That CD matures at the end of June, and so we need to decide what to do with that. My recommendation would be to recover $1 million of that and take the other $1 million and use it to buy CDs at Heritage Bank that scatter out over the course of the year so that, for example, we'd have $250,000 maturing every 3 years and then keep that going. That way we have access to the money without taking a penalty for an early withdrawal, but at the same time eventually getting one-year CD rates, which are not too bad at this point in time. With that, I'll be happy to answer.
Could you, tell us what have we been earning on that Heritage Bank CD?
It's a 2% CD. Actually, sorry, 0.2%.
Okay, well, in view of our other rates of return, that's that yield.
Yeah, it's 0.2%.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
You can't get 2%.
All right. I was going to say, that's pretty astounding. Yeah. Okay. Does that conclude your report, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Any members of the committee have any questions for Chris regarding his report? All right, hearing none, we'll go ahead and open public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Ops Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to make a comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will go ahead and proceed to the next item. We have an order to allow the TRPA Governing Board meeting to convene. We will be deferring item number 8 until next month, and informational briefing on TRPA building repairs and remodel. And Chris, will you be sending out the same drawings you sent to me to the other committee members in preparation for next month's discussion?
I can certainly do that, yes. With luck, we can have even better drawings.
That would be helpful. Thank you. What was that?
With any luck, we'll have better drawings than that. But
we lost you. Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right. Next item, upcoming topics, which is agenda item number 9. Chris, anything you'd like to add to future agendas?
Okay. Just mention to you coming up next month, Nick will be in with his fiscal year 2022 OWP budget. And I will be bringing you the major issues revolving around the agency's overall 22 budget. The actual 22 fiscal year 22 budget we will bring to you for approval in the June Governing Board meeting. That's all.
Okay, thank you. All right, now we'll move on to agenda item number 10, committee member comments. Does any member of the committee have any final comments before we adjourn? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to our last public interest comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Ops Committee, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are no hands raised to make a public comment at this item.
Okay, all right, thank you. In that case, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn, but before I do, Joanne, are you on the line?
I am, Madam Chair. We are right on schedule, but I imagine that governing board members would like a short break right now. Should we convene in 10 minutes, say 12?
12:10?
Yeah.
At 12:10?
Yes.
No, 11:58.
It's 11:58.
Okay. All right. So the governing board meeting will convene at 12:10 p.m. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. This is Barbara Sagaski.
Thank you, Barbara. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thanks, everyone.